Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn. I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, our podcast here at the St. Paul Center.
No matter who wins an election, Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Take hope with Scott Hahn and Brandon McGinley's book, It Is Right and Just. Learn more in our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn. I'm here in the studio of the St. Paul Center in Steubenville, Ohio. And as we bask in the graces of this Advent season and Christmas time, I'm reminded of a very special grace that we have entered into the year of St. Joseph by the decree of Pope Francis and Patris Corde from a father's heart. And as I think about St. Joseph, who's become like my favorite saint, I realize that like me, he faced so many challenges, so many unexpected crises, but unlike me, he did so in complete faith, in total trust, in a yielding submission to an inscrutable will that comes from a father who's a father even more than he is, and who is the eternal father of the son entrusted to St. Joseph. I mean, seriously, Lord, what were you thinking? Why do you treat St. Joseph this way? You know, he had four dreams that came to him from on high, and he had to share these with the Blessed Virgin, his own spouse, his wife. And I mean, she must have been somewhat tempted to say, you had a dream? You had another dream? What, a third? And finally the fourth? You know, by now we both know that God could speak directly to me as well, sending an angel and all of the rest. But she learned to trust him. But it must have been a challenge, even for a sinless woman, to trust a husband who has these dreams, who faces challenges like the slaughter of the innocents, like the flight to Egypt, like this tyrant, Archelaus, like living in a foreign land as refugees, searching for the kind of work by which I can provide for my family, trying to track the ways of God. If you're entrusting this much to me, then why wouldn't you make it much easier? It just doesn't go that way. If the son that he is raising as an earthly father is destined for a cross, Joseph is a carpenter, and he knows that slivers of that cross were given to him to bear each and every day. Sure, there were sorrows galore, but there were always much more joys for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And that's the way it is in our lives. You know, I have to admit, I am first to see the weeds before the flowers. I am first to find the sorrows before the joys. I suffer from time to time with a critical spirit, with a certain negativity. Kimberly doesn't suffer from that ever, not in 41 years of married life at least. But she bears with me, and at the same time, so does our Lord and our Lady and Saint Joseph. For what I've discovered is that each and every time I fall upwards because of God's mercy. It isn't just the safety net of grace that we think of. Oh, it caught me before I hit the ground and went splat. No, I jokingly refer to it as a divine trampoline, because when I fall into His mercy, I not only get back up again, I bounce frequently higher than the point from which I fell. I don't understand this, but we know it from God's word. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And weakness is not just something that I have and you share with me. It's something that Saint Joseph shares with all of us. You think about the dedication in the temple when Jesus was presented after 40 days to hear Simeon prophesy. What a wondrous thing to realize that he got to see the Redeemer before his days were over. But Saint Joseph also heard how a sword would pierce Mary's heart, her soul. What do you mean? I'm going to be there, aren't I? But he wasn't. And he had to accept that. And men, so do we. Brothers in Christ, we want to be there all the time for our loved ones. We feel out of control when we're not. Well, guess what? We're not in control. But God our Father is. And He was in control of every single detail of Saint Joseph's life. You think about however many years he spent with Jesus and Mary, however many prayers they shared together, however many meals they shared together, however much beauty the Blessed Virgin had, and I can tell you, she must have been beautiful. She must have been gorgeous. He wasn't asked by God to repress his masculinity. He was called to express it supernaturally. And so he adored her. He recognized her beauty. He was attracted to her. Sure, she was modest, but she was also beautiful. When you behold the great works of Marian art, you behold just a portion of what Joseph got to see every single day, waking up to it in the morning and going to bed at night. And then there's their son, Jesus. The glory of the Lord, the beauty of divine mercy, to wake up and have to change his diapers, then to wake up and to apprentice him in carpentry, to wake up and realize that your life would not last as long as theirs, and to accept that. No wonder he is perfectly suited to be the patron of a holy death. Because who did he have there? Jesus and Mary. And who will we have? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to enter into this year of Saint Joseph, not simply in some sort of pietistic way, but in a way that goes beyond symbolism, that enters into the reality of a love that abides. He isn't simply her ex-spouse. He is her most chaste and blessed spouse even now. The Holy Family was not only fully functional back then and devoid of dysfunction, but the Holy Family is intact for us even now. Not only was it a healthy family back then, it is still the Holy Family right now. Not only was it a Jewish family back then, but I want you to recognize that it was a royal family, the royal family. That's what we find in the opening chapter of the New Testament. The very first verse of Matthew shows us the book of the genealogy of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't his father Joseph, and so wouldn't it be more accurate to speak of him as the son of Joseph? Well, fast forward a few verses and you're going to see how the angel addressed Saint Joseph, who was physically the son of Jacob, but the angel addressed him spiritually as Joseph, the son of David. That wasn't a slip of the angel's tongue, because the angel wasn't talking about Joseph's dad. He was talking about Joseph's dignity coming at the end of the long Davidic line of the royal dynasty. established 1,000 years earlier by God's own sworn covenant oath. Nothing more solemn or sacred than when God swears a covenant with David and the son of David. And when you look at David and his son Solomon, you see righteous men. You see Solomon, who was the source of wisdom. We call it the wisdom literature. You also see other kings who were good, but most of them weren't. The good ones you can practically count on one hand. You've got Hezekiah and Josiah in the 8th and 7th centuries. You've got Asa and Jehoshaphat. But then you're kind of running out. More than 20 kings in the Davidic line. Some were righteous, most were not. Some were really righteous, but none of them even held a candle to St. Joseph. He doesn't just find himself at the end of a long royal family line. He is the climax, the culmination, the single most righteous in the entire Davidic dynasty. And that isn't even slightly an exaggeration. So when he entered into this betrothal, the first stage of marriage, and then full marriage, though it remained virginal, they weren't less married than Scott and Kimberly. The Holy Family wasn't less of a family. It wasn't a facsimile of a family. It was the only true and perfect Holy Family in salvation history until the Hans. No, not even close. We can't hold a candle to the Holy Family either. No family can. And we don't have to pretend, although we are invited to strive to be more like them. But this is why the Holy Family is more than just a popular devotion, more than just a past event that was there in the first century. The intactness of the Holy Family is not simply for their own sake, but primarily for ours. We all know fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, but in a faltering way. Our fathers have failed us and sometimes have hurt us. Our mothers have faults as well. And so what God has given to us is not just something that is up on a pedestal, but is there as we pray on our knees in tears, in brokenness, in loneliness, in bewilderment. And again, this isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. This is the reality, the fact that follows from God being our Father Almighty and from God giving to us a human and finite figure to be our Father, more than a father figure. The Holy Family is in heaven, but the Holy Family is here for us. Yes, we worship Jesus alone, for he alone is divine. The other two are creatures, but they reflect to us, they embody just how generous God is in lavishing his love upon us, in creating exhibit A and B, proof positive that he is holding nothing back for us, because he's given to us a father and a mother, as well as the son that is common to both families, the divine family and the human family. And so I want you, next time you go into a church and you see the tabernacle, and then on the side altar, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then on the other side, Saint Joseph. What a coincidence. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in practically every single Catholic parish. It is no coincidence at all. We have these three figures in our custom and our canon law for a reason. And that reason is when you enter a parish and you see Jesus and Mary and Joseph, all three are present, inviting you to recognize that your parish is nothing less than an extension of the Holy Family there in Nazareth. That's who we are as Catholics. That's why we go to Mass. And that's why when we go into our churches, we see the Holy Family beckoning us, inviting us, asking us to become a part of them. And so we all come from broken families. We all have dysfunction in our own homes. They didn't. But not just to kind of hoard it to themselves, but to lavish it on us. And so we're familiar, perhaps, since our childhood, with Marian prayers and devotions, and with prayers to Jesus. But let's familiarize ourselves in a new way, with a new depth, by entering more deeply into this relationship with Saint Joseph, who 150 years ago was decreed by Blessed Pius IX to be the patron of the Universal Church. Not a patron in the sense of having clients, but a patron in the sense of pater, a true father, and we are his children. And the Holy Family is an open circle, inviting us into the warmth of love there in Nazareth and now in heaven. May God bless you in this wonderful year of St. Joseph.
The Road to Emmaus podcast is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes producer and director Beckett Gitto, associate producer Molly Trainer, audio engineer and editor Joseph Palmer. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Subscribe and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, visit stpaulcenter.com.